This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Ever since the Columbine school rampage, teachers and students have been given a standard set of safety instructions. If an armed attacker enters your school, you lock down and hide.
But today, officials from many Massachusetts school districts are being trained in a new technique called ALICE.
ALICE stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate.
That's Jack Richards, a former police officer, narrating a video for Response Options, a Texas-based company specializing in violent intruder defense strategies. They are one of the most sought-after proponents of ALICE training, which has now spread to 300 schools and 1.5 million students across the country.
It's the C in ALICE that's caused the greatest excitement and concern. Again, that C stands for counter, the idea that students can and should be taught to fight back against an armed intruder or to make other on-the-spot decisions to evacuate, barricade doors, or even throw objects, or use their body weight against the shooter. Here again is Jack Richards in a video available on the Response Options website.
We believe it is inadequate to teach people to only be very passive and static when a determined killer has decided on them to be his potential victims. Survival will be based on the difficulty of the targets. There are no guarantees in life, and we cannot guarantee that nobody will be hurt in a planned, determined attack. But we do guarantee that by doing something instead of nothing, you will increase your odds of survival.
Now again, school officials from Canton, Concord, Dedham, Framingham, Franklin, New Bedford, Wellesley, Westboro, and Winchester are all receiving ALICE training today. So we're going to take a closer look. And joining me now is Greg Crane, the founder of the ALICE program and president of Response Options, that company specializing in violent intruder defense strategy based in Texas. Crane was also a law enforcement officer for more than 20 years. He joins us now. Greg Crane, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So let me start by asking you, what first made you decide to create this new ALICE training? What was the inspiration?
Well, the inspiration evolved after the Columbine tragedy. As a SWAT officer at the time, you know, we were doing a lot of training in relation to all the school shootings that we had in the 90s. But Columbine was that slap of reality to law enforcement that, you know, the ability of us to respond to the attack quick enough to really make an impact is probably not very realistic. So we had to start looking at maybe what were the people who were there, those potential targets, what were they doing? And it prompted a conversation with my wife, who at that time was an elementary school principal, as to, you know, how they were trained.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained their Code Red protocol, which was a standard lockdown. You know, get everyone into a room, lock a door, sit in the corner, and wait for the police. And, you know, we just had a situation in Columbine in the library where, you know, those armed students got in the library and, you know, that they shot 22 out of 54 kids, and all of their victims were shot sitting down.
And in fact, and, I mean, that in the Columbine library was maybe, I mean, the students were doing exactly what they had been told to do, right? They had closed the library doors, if I remember correctly, and you said many...
Well, they closed them, but the teacher who ran into the library, who was already wounded, she was not the librarian. She had no idea how or if she even could lock up the library. So, but entering the building, Harrison Klebold shot out the glass door. So they were not against having to breach entry if necessary. Mm-hmm. And both prior to Columbine and since Columbine, we've had institutions in that have suffered shootings where a locked door or a locked environment has been breached. So it's not a question if they can get in. Of course they can get in. And if they do, what are those occupants prepared to do to try to increase survival rates? Again, you know, at a 54 children in the Columbine Library, you know, a massacre almost 14 years ago now, all of the victims were shot sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they were taught to do. That's what they were told to do. You can't fault them for doing how they've been trained. You can't fault the teachers for advising them to follow the protocol. You have to start looking at the protocol. And that's what I did. And I searched for a program out there that gave more options, more strategies than just securing in place. because there are going to be times when that is just either not the best option or it doesn't even apply in the first place.
So, Greg Crane,
it's a one-size-fits-all answer to a question that's very dynamic.
Well, so that's exactly where I was trying to head here, because I'd love to hear a little bit more about what specifically the ALICE training teaches, because we played a little bit of tape from the Response Options website. But tell us in detail, what is it that you're training people to do?
Well, the ALICE program is all about options. We don't teach anybody to do anything. We teach them what they can do. Ultimately, it's going to be their decision based on their situation within the event as to what is in their best interest. You know, they need information. That's where the alert and the inform of the ALICE program come in. Instead of just telling people lockdown, tell them what's going on. Give them the information that you know, the what, the where, the why. We don't care about, I'm sorry, the how. We don't care about the why, but any information that you can give us right now related to the activity and the actor, that empowers us then with some information that we can use to make a decision as to what's in our best option.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the evacuation part, that to me seems to be the most simplest of strategies. I mean, my gosh, if a building is on fire, we tell everybody to get out. But if it's a man-made situation of a shooter in the building, we tell everybody to stay in. I don't understand that fundamental difference.
Right.
You know,
and
they're both high-level dangers.
So I hear what you're saying, that you're basically trying to get folks to rethink about what their options would be when they're in this, you know, chaotic situation. But let me, I'm just trying to, for those of us who may not ever receive this this training in, you know, in person, when it comes to thinking about what new options are for the counterpart, the C part of ALICE, what do you tell people?
Well, what we tell folks is, look, there's a difference between shooting and shooting accurately. We know that folks who are very good with firearms can be made to look actually, you know, pretty pedestrian. You look at the typical hit rates of police officers in live fire events, that number is a 70 to 80% miss rate. We only hit about 20 to 30% of the rounds we send down range. You know, if officers qualified at that rate, they would never be qualified to do the job. So what is it that causes a professional with that tool to actually perform poorly when that skill is needed? And so from our careers and from the situations that we were in, we looked at those situations and what does cause that interference. And it's related to the target. What is the target doing? And so we tell folks, look, you've got to do something. And that something usually evolves around noise, movement, distractions, distance, and if necessary, you use that tactical advantage of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Harrison Klebold entered the Columbine Library, there was 54 of their peers in there, and yet it ended up being a disaster. But 8 years later, in Virginia Tech, you only had one shooter, Joe, and he goes up against 100 of his peers, and he ends up shooting 47 of them, killing 30. You know, you had half as many shooters affect double the casualty rate against an older population after 8 years of lockdown training had been in full force in our country.
Greg Crane, I'm going to ask you to stand by here for just a second, because I do want to get the phones open for our listeners here, and then we'll speak with you in more detail in just a moment. But listeners, when you hear Greg Crane talk about getting people to think about what their options are, different set of options, if an armed intruder enters a school, what do you make of that? I mean, in those critical, chaotic minutes before a SWAT team can arrive, is there anything more teachers and students should be doing or thinking about to protect themselves? Or could being proactive, do you worry that that might simply raise the body count in a tragedy? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Again, I'm speaking with Greg Crane. He is president of Response Options. It's a company specializing in violent intruder defense strategies. He's a former law enforcement officer and SWAT officer. Response Options has been doing a lot of trainings in this ALICE technique across the country, and several school districts in Massachusetts today are receiving this training as well. So Greg Crane, hang in here with us for just a second. I'm going to come back to you, but I also want to introduce into the conversation now Kurt Lavarello. He's the executive director and school safety of the School Safety Advocacy Council. He's an 8-year member of the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and also a law enforcement veteran of 25 years and a former SWAT team officer as well. Kurt Lavarello, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. So you've heard Greg Crane, and I know you're very familiar with his work, talking about the fact that he believes, and an increasing number of school districts across the country as well, believe that it's essential to teach people about a brand new set of options if indeed a shooter comes into a school. What do you make of that basic premise?
Well, having been in the school safety arena for the past 18 years, you know, much of what's contained in the ALICE training, quite frankly, is long practice protocol in a number of our schools across the country. What's most concerning and troubling to us at the council is that C component, that counter component, because it's built around the assumption that an armed intruder into a classroom is going to go rogue Columbine style. And evidence tells us that's not the case at all. I mean, there are a number of incidents across the country dating back as far as in the mid-'80s where armed suspects, including students, have taken classrooms hostage and been talked out of harm. Have let the classmates go in a number of cases and not hurt anyone. So when you build in that counter of the making noise, the throw the pencils and the notebooks at the armed intruder, could then we have incited the armed person and actually increase that body count
as
well?
I take your point, but it sounds like as if perhaps this is an incorrect interpretation of what you're saying, but, you know, can people really afford to take the chance that the probability is on their side that it won't turn into a Columbine-style massacre?
Well, no, but, you know, when you just look at some of the law enforcement agencies around the country, and IACP and many of its members are trained in off-duty officers right now. Matter of fact, in the Northeast, there are a number of agencies that have policies. When an officer is off-duty and unarmed, they are not to take any aggressive action in the case of an incident. They're to only act as that of a witness, call 911, assist people in getting out. Why would we expect our students, sometimes 7th, 8th graders, to make split-second, accurate, timed counterattack decisions in a classroom? Those kids are going to be scared, confused, emotional. And can you only imagine the first kid making that counter move being shot? Do you really think the rest of them are going to gather around, or are they going to freeze and just go into an emotional shock, which we've seen on a number of cases of our school shootings around the country?
Well, let me ask Greg Crane about that. What's your response to that, Mr. Crane?
My response is that, you know, Kurt seems to only be looking at the one extreme. There's also been the other extreme. You know, you had Jake Riker already shot, get up off the floor, and take Kip Kinkle down in the cafeteria at Thurston High School in Springfield, Oregon in 1998. Kids have already done this. The kids have already run away from danger. The problem is we have conditioned a whole generation of Americans now through the lockdown training, and I'll disagree with Kurt that so many components of ALICE are universal. I mean, even the ability to evacuate is counter to most lockdown protocols. You know, it's a strict, secure-in-place mentality. You know,
but Mr. Crane, if I may ask, there's a point about how a young person, and I take your point about the Kit Kinkle shooting in Springfield, Oregon.
You know, Magna, do we ask little children who may be snatched up off the streets, do we ask them to just be passive and static and compliant and wait for an adult to advise them what to do about this guy that's trying to grab them? No, we give them realistic, age-appropriate training starting at 4 and 5 and 6 years old about how they must respond to that danger if they're going to survive.
Kurt Lavarella, let me get you back in here because I think Greg Crane is making a point that I have read about and heard about in increasing, in law enforcement circles and anyone who's associated or concerned about organizational security, that mental preparation really does make a difference or could make a difference regardless of at any age. Greg Crane's talking about the whole stranger danger training that we give to, you know, four-year-olds.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's no evidence out here that the ALICE training has ever been an effective measure yet. Maybe there will be an example down the road, but there may also be the example of just the opposite happened. There are so many things you could do well before that gunman enters the classroom. There are so many things out there we do know as a result of the shootings that have occurred across the country, such as the fact that in most of the school shootings, other kids knew who the armed suspect was. And in most cases, they were other kids at the school who came in that were armed. So making sure schools open lines of communications with kids, talk to kids, have flexible emergency management plans that are tested and training is going on. I commend Alice for doing this training, but it stops short in that C component. The other thing is, in the fact that most of these kids that have done these shootings were students, are we also training them in the Alice counter component? Are we basically teaching them what's going to happen when they enter a classroom armed?
Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you both to stand by because we have a lot of people who want to talk to us. So let's go to the phone lines. Suzanne is calling from Canton. You're on the air, Suzanne.
Hi, thanks, Meghna. First, I'd just like to thank Kurt for being such a voice of reason here. I'm fairly familiar with this program because I did some research for a column I wrote about it on the Huffington Post today. And what I think is important to realize is exactly what the school children will be taught. If people go to the video that the first, I think they're called Response Options, has posted on their website, this is a video produced by middle school students in Columbia, Missouri, where they basically, in kid-friendly language, talk about the ALICE program, talk about what's expected of the students. And I'm telling you, not to be incendiary, but it's horrifying. This video shows a simulation of a student walking down the hall wearing what looks to be a trench coat. This person goes into a library with a pretend gun, shoots the children who are hiding under the table. The children are presumably dead. The film rewinds, and then the students implement the ALICE program, which I do understand evacuate is first, but ALICE tells students if you can't evacuate, you should throw whatever is at your disposal, including they have children saying, throw a stapler, throw a three-hole punch, throw a coffee mug. Mm-hmm. And then Alice in Wonderland is the character narrating this, comes out and says to the students, here's what you do when you rush the attacker. One person for each leg, one person for each arm, one for his head, and then you all tackle him. Now, presumably, if we believe the video simulation, this person has a gun. I understand stranger danger and everything else, but I put to you that we don't tell anybody to rush at a person armed with a weapon.
Suzanne, I'm going to take it from you there because I do want to get Greg Crane to respond to your point. Thank you so much for your call. Mr. Crane, this is a thought that also crossed my mind today. I mean, it's not just any weapon. Guns today are high-powered, they're accurate, they have the capacity to do a horrendous amount of carnage in a few seconds. Go ahead, sir.
Guns are not accurate. People determine the accuracy of a weapon.
That's a fair
point. And to that video that your caller spoke about, that's local autonomy. You know, we don't give mandates to anybody. That video was done through a school district. It's middle school. It's cinema group. They decided to make it. They made it for their community. And that's what we think should happen. Community should be deciding what they want their student and in what age group they want those students to receive what level of training. And that's what that community decided to do.
Okay, I want to take another call here. Steven's calling from Beacon Hill. You're on the air, Steven.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Magda. I think if 9/11 taught us anything, it taught us that pacifism gets you killed. The folks who sat passively by got flown into buildings and 3,000 people died. The folks that fought in Pennsylvania crossed a plane but saved other lives. I would also point out that the Israelis arm a percentage of their teachers that never had a school shooting.
So, Stephen, thank you for your point. I'll turn that one to Kurt Lavarello. People can think of examples on either side. And, I mean, Stephen's talking about the flight that went down in Pennsylvania but didn't hit a building because folks stormed the cockpit there. What's your response to that, Kurt?
Well, you know, naturally we're going to be able to point examples out of cases like that. But, I go back to the fact that for every case of a school shooting that happened where, sadly enough, kids lost their lives, I can point to numerous cases where armed suspects entered a classroom and did not shoot anybody, but may have, I mean, and it is a guess, but may have
Kurt,
had they had a slew of books thrown out them or anything else. You know, the other thing, I think Greg did bring up a good point when he says it's up to the community to decide and parents to decide. And I took special note to the note that goes out or the parent letter for parents to opt out of that training if they want. The thing is, it doesn't accurately state what their children will be participating in. If I knew as a father, forget the school safety expert part of it, but as a father, if I knew my child was going to school to learn how to attack an armed gunman, I would absolutely opt out of it. But that's not the way the letter comes across. And I would chance to say a lot of the parents there in that town today that's having training are unaware that their children are being trained in this manner.
Let me get Greg Crane to respond to that, Mr. Crane.
Well, you know, again, and this is where all the naysayers, I think, fall short. Kurt just called himself a school safety expert. So, Kurt, you know, give us the answer. What is your argument then? If a teenager comes into a room with 30 other teenagers and he's pointing a gun at them and he's pulling the trigger, what do you want them to do?
I want the adult to take the leadership role. No different than if I
would. Well, let's let him answer. Go. Actually, Greg, Mr. Crane, you asked a good question. So let's give Mr. Laverell a couple seconds at least.
There are several examples of where adults took the leadership role and took the gunman out, such as Dave Banky out in Colorado and a number of other school shootings. But if I'm walking through a mall, naturally, I think it's a little bit different as an adult, and I see somebody pull out a gun and start to shoot. I'm probably going to take a leadership role as opposed to asking a seventh grade kid who's scared, confused emotionally, and maybe has seen a kid already get shot. I mean, we get kids that go into shock. I spent a long time as a school resource officer in a school, and we've seen kids who go into shock at the mere sight of somebody passing out as a PE exercise. Can you imagine the trauma after a school shooting? So the vulnerability is still going to be there.
We're really running down on time here. We've just got under a minute to go. Obviously, there's no conclusion to this kind of conversation. But, Mr. Crane, there's one last question I want to ask you. You have told our producers that several years ago, no one really wanted to hear what you have to say. But now this ALICE training has been done in 300 districts across the country, and you're getting invited all over the place. What do you think has changed the tide?
People have seen the outcomes of a passive and static response to a determined attacker. You know, Kurt said he's a school resource officer for many years. Well, the National Association of School Resource Officers, of which I believe Kurt at one time was executive director, the executive board just voted in to accept our enhanced lockdown strategies program, and they've contracted with us now to teach this program.
That's factually inaccurate, Greg.
I hate to end on a factual dispute, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to. There, listeners, there's a lot of you who wanted to comment on this, and please go to our website at radioboston.org and continue this conversation. But for now, Greg Crane, founder of Response Options, speaking to us today from Texas. Mr. Crane, thank you so much for joining us.
Be safe. Thank you.
And Kurt Lavarello, Executive Director of the School Safety Advocacy Council, thank you as well for your time, Mr. Lavarello.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
And again, everyone, continue this conversation because this training is going on in Massachusetts school districts. Do so at radioboston.org. And stay with us because coming up, we turn the tables a little bit and have some great music from pianist David Maxwell. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.